This is the Dave and Checky Show. We got this groovy podcast for ya. Reviewing crazy tunes, we're quoting Twain and Sting and Dune. We'll bring ideas to share, like bonus points for extra flair, cause it's the freaking Dave and Checky Show. Show, we're bringing you this groovy review. We might preview movies, bake some bread, or drink some smoothies. So come on, have way too much caffeine. You roll up some reefers, I'll reference some Raffy. This is the Dave and Checky Show.
Wrecked them. He nearly killed them.
Why don't you take another sip of your drink? Dry mouth. Oh my god. Ew, come on. That's disgusting. Oh, God. Welcome to another episode of Dave and Checky's, middle-aged cool kids, super terrific podcast featuring your pals,
Steve and Eddie. Steve and Edie. What?
I don't know who Steve and Eddie are. Steve and Eddie are fine.
Steve and Eddie. He's a great bass player.
Uh-huh.
Steve and Eddie. He thinks he's Steve Stevens and Eddie Van Halen.
Is there really a person named that?
I'm sure there is, but
oh,
I don't know.
Okay, you're making things up.
I never met Steve and Eddie.
You never met Steve and Eddie or Steve and Eddie?
I've met Steve and Eddie on separate occasions. I don't think Steve and Eddie ever hung out together.
Okay.
And if they did, I was never there.
All right. Okay.
Who's Steve? Oh, Steve was our old manager. So was Eddie.
Yes.
Yeah.
These were guys that...
Steve and Eddie.
Steve, you said people just didn't like Steve.
Steve is a member of the... Or was a member of the Young Republicans in New York.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
But you just...
I don't know.
He had the enthusiasm, but he just couldn't make the connections. Is that what you said?
I don't know if people didn't like him, but I don't think people liked him.
Okay. Well, you... Okay.
One time, okay. I was in the car with his brother, and he decided to go through red lights and stop signs while ranting at the steering wheel.
About?
Dissatisfaction in life, mainly.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He was going to commit suicide.
That wasn't good. That was a bad one. Another time.
How did you get him to stop?
I don't know. I think we yelled at him or something.
Oh, so it was more. It was just more than you?
Yeah, but it was me and maybe one other person. I don't remember, but I do remember him having a breakdown while
driving. Holy shit. In New York City?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Going through fucking lights and stops. I was like a moron in his brother's brand new Land Rover. Land
Steve?
Cruiser. Land 4Runner.
Steve's?
I think it was a 4Runner. Yeah. One time we were in the 4Runner, the whole band, and then we got out of the 4Runner, and someone had written marker on the back of his headrest, like a juvenile.
One of the members of the band?
Yeah, or a roadie or someone connected with us.
Who do you think it could have been?
Probably East Isle.
Oh, East Isle.
Or Squish.
No, like, I refuse. I refuse to believe Squish would do anything like that.
I'll show you my hi-hat symbol.
Oh,
it still has the mark of Zorro on it.
Hey.
Squisho.
I love Squish.
I didn't want him to do it at the time, but now I appreciate it. I'll hang that goddamn thing up.
There you go. See what goes around comes around.
El Squisho.
So, yeah.
Can you imagine you got your brand new car and you're driving around the guys in the band and somehow it's been vandalized by someone in your group?
Someone who you've just been nice enough to give a ride in your brand new vehicle. Someone who is in the band that you're extending, you're trying to help. You're trying to get them gigs. No wonder.
Well, he wasn't doing it for free, that's for sure.
Well, I don't blame him.
I don't either.
You get what you pay for in life, everyone. Don't ask your friends to work for free. Don't offer to work for free. Your time is valuable.
You can't
Stop
be
it.
With the one you love. shoot a bad person.
Okay. That sounds like a, that sounds great, actually.
It's no longer Jew. Lie.
Oh, that's right. It's August. Dave loves to talk about the Jews, the chosen people, his tribe. Dave, you do. You do, though.
Ah, my back. Oh, God. See? I'm a Jew.
Okay.
It's natural.
Yeah.
Oh. Oi. You know, those kind of noises.
24 hours a day.
What?
What?
I couldn't hear you. Did you say someone was gay?
No, I didn't. I did not.
24 flowers for the gay?
No.
What?
Nope. Uh-uh. Mm-mm.
Who's the gay?
It's so funny. We bought this house in upstate New York from a charming, tiny Jewish couple, Flo and Cy.
It's a flag in front of our house.
And
what?
I feel like we are turning into Flo and Cy.
That sounds like some sort of a exercise routine.
Oh, all right. Anywho.
I told you I wanted to start jazz. What did I want to start? Jazzercise?
But no, you said not jazzercise.
Jazzorcise?
Jazzorcise.
Yes.
Some sort of a exorcism done with interpretive dance or something?
No, you know, like kind of like jazz poetry.
Oh.
To get rid of the, you know, devil be gone. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
You get out. You must go now. That kind of thing. Anyway, I'm not going to finish it.
The power of Christ compels you.
Exactly. There okay. It is.
Oh, jazzorcise. Well, maybe Mark Levitt will do a comedy short about
jazzorcise. Exorcist poetry slam.
Exorcist poetry. With just a priest. It's like an underground thing.
Maybe we can get Samuel L. Jackson to star in it.
All right. Why him?
I don't know. He seems to like to sing and stuff.
Does he?
Yeah. Wasn't that commercial where he's pretending he's Al Green? He's so in love with you.
Oh, you know what?
He's like Obama. He likes to sing.
Okay. I have acquired a new skill in my life in the past 10 years or so where I totally tune off the commercials that happen to come on during programs.
I do the opposite.
You really do, and you get angry about them, and then you're like, you'll say something like, can you believe that that car was blah, blah, blah? And I'll be like, what?
Can you believe that I saw a commercial where an older black woman bashes a white man over the head because he's supposedly being rude? Can you imagine reversing that?
The old cuck commercial.
He's looking for a place to plug in his charger for his phone or something. And she's like, excuse me. And she hits him over the head with her briefcase or some shit.
Never would happen if it was
I thought that was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of these commercials out there that are completely prejudiced. We'll say prejudiced. I don't really want to say racist. I'm just going to say prejudice. Yeah. If you see a commercial where someone is making fun of, bullying, hitting, and then you say to yourself, well, wait a second, what if the person doing the hitting was doing it to a woman, a black person?
How about the Ring door commercials? All right, enough said.
The Nest Ring door commercial?
What the hell?
Yeah, it's all crazy. It's crazy. Gavin McInnes calls them cuck commercials, where the white man is abused by everybody else. So
anyway.
This... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Today's episode, I've decided, without much preparation by you... It's going to be about the 80s.
Ooh.
Now, the 80s, I graduated high school. Well, let me back up. I didn't graduate high school. Had I graduated high school, it would have been in 1985. I think, Dave, you graduated when?
Hey, 1985.
1985?
Yeah, it was back then, yeah.
See, we're both the class of 85. 85 rules. 86 drool.
I should have been 84, but I'm a moron.
Oh, you got what? If you're kept back like in kindergarten or first grade, I think it's a social issue and not a smartness issue?
What? I was kept back in ninth grade.
Okay, well, then that's a problem.
My school that I went to before, I didn't take math. I took music. They figured, you know, you only need 3 years of math, so you don't got to take it in the first year if you don't want to. You can just take the last three.
Oh, boy.
And it was going to be fine. But then I left that school and went to the other school, and they said, oh, you didn't take algebra. You can't take algebra, too. No, you can't take geometry without taking algebra. We need an extra year's worth of money from you. Instead of just switching around classes.
I was going to say, why not just say, class. Why to come in on the weekends and take this one class? They wanted a whole extra year?
I didn't have to come in on the weekend. I could have just taken that one class with the people
who were below your grade.
Yeah.
Wow. But anyway. That is a money grab, isn't it?
Oh, very much a money grab.
And what school was that?
Money grab you. University.
Okay. Was that Walden that did that to you?
That did it to me, man. It was Walden. But let me tell you what.
So you were
The class I was in was better. The guy, the older class that graduated for a bunch of fucking geeks. Glad I wasn't part of that group.
Okay. Well, screw them. Those fuckers. So, the 80s, we both graduated or should have graduated in the 80s. It's a decade, and I don't even know if I like recall the whole decade fondly or just from like 81 to 88.
It was a shit fest.
Oh, you didn't enjoy the 80s.
I enjoyed the 80s, but I didn't think it was great. I was convinced that I should have been born 15 years earlier.
Oh, because you didn't... What was it you didn't like? The music, the dress, music. The hair?
Yeah, all that.
All of it.
We were all convinced, everyone my age, that... I mean, everyone who was playing music my age at that point, if we were born 10, 15 years earlier, we would have had a record deal. Because we were playing that kind of music.
What, like funk?
No, we were playing like classic rock. When, you know, Duran Duran was selling.
Right.
And we couldn't stand Duran Duran. We hated that shit.
Remember they were saying that Duran Duran was the next Beatles.
Ugh. Duran Duran, the Smiths, Flock of Seagulls. Just, you know. Ugh.
Seagulls?
I tell you what, I remember when...
were they a bunch of Jewish men?
Seagulls.
A flock of seagulls.
I remember when... I remember when 1984 came out, that album.
Are you referring to Van Halen?
Yep.
With the picture of the young boy smoking a cigarette.
I remember that
came out. One of the best album covers ever. Would never, ever get done today.
I remember everyone learning how to play the synthesizer part on that song.
Because of 19...
I remember
it?
Guitar players Jump. Trying to learn it because Eddie would play the synth on it, so they thought, oh, geez, I should learn to play that part, too. Everyone was learning synth, whereas, you know, a couple years earlier, everyone was learning Eruption.
People were trying to learn Eruption. I don't know that everybody successfully learned that.
Definitely not.
We're talking some major tappage.
And I remember around that same time, fucking Thriller came out.
That's right.
Right around that time.
Were you for or against Thriller?
Totally not into Thriller.
Really?
Yeah, I was not into Thriller. I hated disco. Anything disco I didn't like. I was classic anti-disco.
Did you like Off the Wall?
No, I didn't.
See,
like
I would
that.
Think of you as a Quincy Jones kind of guy.
I didn't like anything like that. Oh. I kind of liked The Wiz, I guess.
Okay.
I liked to beat it on down the road.
I bet you did.
Yeah, that was good. But
I think that was 70s, late 70s.
Yeah, I don't know. I never liked Michael Jackson until a little bit later.
How long? How much later?
Like
another decade?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
You were not a Michael Jackson fan in the 80s.
I probably like Alien Ant Farm more than Michael Jackson.
Wow. Well, there you go. I loved the Jacksons. And this is, you know, going back to the 70s, but one of the songs I would just sing to myself whenever I was alone doing housework or in the shower was Ben. I loved that song. I loved the song way more than I loved the movie, but it was still...
Well, that was for girls.
The movie?
No, a boy would not like that song.
Ben, the two of us need look no more.
Oh, Jesus.
So beautiful.
That's the 70s. We're into the 70s.
Yeah, but anyway, I loved Michael Jackson from then and from just, you know, all of the Jackson 5 shit. I just loved it. Perfect pop stuff for me. And so I did love Michael Jackson in the 80s. I had Off the Wall, and I also had, of course, Thriller. I mean, shit, I think almost every song on Thriller was a hit. So you're saying, but you can appreciate some of those songs now.
Yeah.
I think you like PYT now, right?
Yeah, I like the drumming. I like the bass playing. I know about all the musicians.
Right. So you've learned to appreciate it. I won't say love it, but you've learned to appreciate it.
Yeah, it's undoubtedly Michael Jackson's extremely talented, great singer, great vision of pop songs.
Yeah. Yes. Now I have the top 50.
The other Jacksons I like is I think it's Alan Arkin in Down and Out in Beverly Hills when he calls the black guy Jackson. What does he call him? Coltrane. He calls the waiter Jackson.
I don't know.
I think that's a racial slur, but I'm not sure why. If you call a black guy Jackson, is that bad?
If you call a black guy Jackson, is that...
Hey, Jackson!
Jackson.
That might be bad.
I guess it is, unless it means something else that I don't know.
He called the other guy Coltrane. I think that was supposed to be a slur, too, but I don't know why that is. That should be a compliment.
Yeah, I don't think either are slurs, unless... Did they have afros? Did the guy... the Jackson?
If you go up to a random black guy and say, hey, Coltrane, I don't know about that.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's... I don't think that's going to fly.
What if you go to a white person and say, hey, Einstein?
Then they'll think you're being a wise ass because they think you're, you know.
Oh, because you think Einstein's like being sarcastic?
Yeah.
Well, what if a Japanese person called you Einstein?
Then I would be reliving my high school days.
Why? Because they thought you were smart?
No, because I had Japanese friends who would go, you're fucking Jew. So,
well, there you go. They weren't wrong. Little did we know.
Yeah, they were more aware of it than I was back then. I was oblivious to the fact that I was a Jew. Well, that didn't hit me till I was like, you know, 30 or something.
Did you have a bar mitzvah?
No, but I went to a couple.
They're a little boring, eh?
Yeah, I guess unless you're on the side of the giving, you seem to get a lot of money.
You get a lot of money, but I've been to a few...
They're horrible. It's a nightmare.
It's just
that horrible singing, forcing a kid to sing like a lunatic.
Yeah, I wasn't down with it.
It's
like
some sort of torture. Then not to mention the Hebrew school that goes along with it to prepare for it.
Yeah, so you didn't have to do any of that.
No.
Do you speak any Hebrew? Like real stuff?
No.
Okay. So I'm at, I went to MetroWeekly.com. And found their version of the greatest pop songs of the 80s. So I just wanted to give you a top 10.
All right, let's go. Let's just get right into it.
Okay. Their number 10. With or Without You, U2 from 1987.
Yeah.
What's your U2 take?
Can't stand Bono.
Mm-hmm.
Hate the drummer.
Okay, why is that? Can you be specific? What?
I can't even begin to put it into words.
Is it a playing thing? Or
yeah,
is
it's
just
a playing thing.
About
it's
it?
Like a lack of New York groove.
Oh.
I'll put it like that.
All right.
It's not like a schooled player.
I see.
It's like someone who doesn't know how to play. Someone who learned his drumming from like someone who's not like trained properly or something.
Okay.
And then the only thing that's interesting about the band is the Edge.
Uh-huh.
But that gets old after one record. You know, Edge with his repeated delay. That's great, I guess. Adam Clayton, is that the name of the bass player or is that a street in Harlem?
It may be both. I have to tell you, I don't know a whole heck of a lot about you two. I will tell you that the Joshua Tree is the first album I ever got really high and listened to through headphones. So if you listen to like the beginning of With or Without You and you're blasted in the headphones, it's kind of like, I remember being amazed by it, but I was also like high.
I remember listening to that through the headphones too, because I was outside landscaping and I had ear protective headphones on with a Walkman underneath it.
Oh,
and I remember that was on the radio station.
Oh, the radio.
And somehow I was listening to that, but I should have been or had been listening to Howard Stern.
Well, yeah, I mean, Howard would be on from 6 to 10, so.
Yeah, and I guess I'd be like, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Listening
and I remember hearing
K-Rock
that crap.
Or PLJ or something.
I didn't like it back then, I'll tell you that much.
All right. Well, that's fine. I have no love for U2. Most of their stuff I didn't like. Some of their stuff was fun, I guess, but I've never bought a record as far as I know.
Bono is a moron.
Okay.
He's a straight up moron.
Number nine.
Listen to his rants that he goes on recently in concert where he's anti Trump. He is a moron. Just mind your own business, you moron.
All right.
He is a moron.
I don't listen to him.
If you did, you would say, that man is a moron.
And you would never
listen to him again. He is a moron, as is Roger Waters.
Okay. Roger Waters, I think, is legitimately crazy. I've seen that documentary.
He's an opinionated dick.
Yeah, that's what happens, though. When you are a famous person, and I've worked for a few famous people, everyone tells you yes. Everything you say is amazing. Every idea you have is great. And so what happens is you get it in your mind that you are a genius and that...
He is a genius.
Yeah, but no, not that kind of like a genius on every level. I'm telling you, this is what happens. I've sat and watched people just be yesed when they were making the most foolish of mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's... I get embarrassed for the famous person... And I'm embarrassed for the people who are saying yes, but I understand they want that paycheck. I could never just say yes for the sake of it, though. So I no longer work for famous people.
He's a moron.
But I believe that that's probably true. Now, number nine. Don't Look.
Oh.
From 1985, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Tears for Fears. What do you think about them?
That's really happening, Chachi.
Okay,
Chachi.
You have no...
That was the Dennis Miller theme song.
I understand.
Chachi.
Number eight.
Hold on, wait. I'm going back. I like them. I like Tears for Fears.
You do?
I like Sowing the Seeds of Love. Boom.
Oh, okay.
I like that retro Beatles shit.
Is that what it is?
You don't think that sounds like Beatles? Like Sergeant Pepper?
I don't listen to music like you do, so things don't necessarily sound
the
same.
Sowing
the
Seeds of Love is a straight-up fucking Sergeant Pepper ripoff.
Okay.
Yeah.
You like it?
I do.
What do you think about Everybody Wants to Rule the World?
I like it. That's a shuffle. I like that. That's like a 6-8 shuffle.
Oh. Is that why you like it? Or
yeah. I like it because it swings. It's happening. You know what else is a 6-8 shuffle? The Way You Make Me Feel by fucking Michael Jackson.
The
Boom.
Way You Make Me Feel. Now explain how the shuffle works.
It's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the 6-8 shuffle tricks. That's the 6-8 shuffle tricks.
Okay. Well, there you go. I definitely... I don't hear it for everybody.
That's Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones is a hippie fucking cat.
But you didn't like him in the 80s. You didn't like this.
I like Quincy Jones with fucking Dizzy Gillespie in the 50s. Right, I like Quincy Jones with Bill Cosby in the 70s.
Okay. Well, when we do the 50s and the 70s, we'll revisit Quincy Jones. But today we're doing the 80s. Yeah.
The 80s was a money grab for Quincy.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Everybody,
didn't he, wasn't he the one who, wasn't he the world? Wasn't he the future?
We are the world. I think that was more Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones.
Yeah, Quincy though was behind the scenes.
Yeah, well,
doing coke with Jackson Brown and whatnot.
And whatnot.
Don't quote me on that.
Were you there?
I said, don't pope me on that.
Don't
pope me on that.
I shan't pope you. Number 8. Chain Gang, The Pretenders.
Ugh, that song sucks.
Back on the Chain Gang.
What a horrible song. What a mind-numbingly bad video. Ugh, that is nonsense. I like The Pretenders, but that song, ugh.
I don't like the song. What's the one that she has Detroit Leanin'? Because that's the song I like. Because I love Detroit Leanin'.
Is that,
Detroit Leanin'.
Oh,
gonna make you.
Yeah, that's good. That's pretty classic.
Was it Brass in Pocket or something?
I guess that might be what it's called. And
that's
then she's
a
got that
song.
Other one, Ohio. The Rush Limbaugh theme song.
Oh, there you go. Doom, doom, doom.
And out in the road or something? In the middle of the road?
In the middle of the road. I gotta say, as far as like chick rockers, I was down with Chrissy Hynde.
Any woman who can marry Ray Davies.
Ray Davies?
Yeah, her and Ray Davies were married.
She was also married to the guy from, what was his name? Jim Kerr.
Oh, from, who's that again? Husker Du?
No.
Jim Kerr. What's that? Something with an S? Smithereens?
No.
Oh, then I don't know. Jim Kerr, is he a DJ?
Don't you forget about me.
What group is that again?
Don't.
Oscar Schmue?
No, it's
Hoobastank?
It's not Hoobastank. It's never Hoobastank.
When it's Hoobastank, it's not even Hoobastank.
Simple Minds. Don't you forget about me. Anyway, number 8 was Back on the Chain Gang with The Pretenders. As far as chicks and rocks goes, she's not above my beloved Pat Benatar, but she's in the top 5.
She's artsier than Pat Benatar,
yeah.
But she's probably not as good a singer. Pat Benatar can actually sing her ass off.
Pat Benatar is amazing. Number 7.
Myron Grumbacher.
Let's Dance.
I was the drummer for Pat Benatar in the 80s.
I see. We're going on. Number 7.
Let's Dance. That's fucking Omar Hakim's the drummer, all right? Let me tell you something else about Let's Dance.
David Bowie. Okay, yes.
It's fucking Stevie Ray Vaughan's on guitar, okay?
Yes.
He left the band to start his own fucking gig. Otherwise, he would have toured with them. Boom.
And he may still be alive today.
Who's the bass player? I don't know.
Okay. I don't know either.
I didn't like that crap when it came out.
There's people out there who love Bowie and
Let's Dance.
I appreciate Bowie.
Should we?
But I certainly don't love him like some people do.
Yeah. I like Fashion.
You
Scary
do?
Scary Monsters. That shit was fucking out to lunch. I mean, that's some weird shit.
The 70s Bowie is better.
That's weird. That's weird and kooky cocaine insanity.
Yes.
But Let's Dance is like a fucking Gap commercial. China Girl. Ugh. China Doll, whatever the fuck it is. Church on Time. That motherfucker.
Church on Time.
That's like bad Bruce Springsteen or something.
It's, yeah. The 80s for David Bowie, I don't think are.
More like David Bowie.
But you know what? I bet he made a shit ton of money, so.
Yeah.
What am I going to say?
So he was in movies, too. Labyrinth.
Labyrinth is a great movie. And
I mean,
that's all I'm going to say about that.
David Bowie's a very talented cat.
Yeah.
And 40% of his music I like.
I liked Under Pressure with Freddie Mercury.
That's good. That's classic.
That was a good one. All right. Number 6. Betty Davis eyes, Kim Carr. I really did love...
This tune perplexed the hell out of me.
It did?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. It was a video. It was an MTV video.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't like a rock song. It's not like rock music.
No.
Like, what is it? What is it? Is it? That's not even pop music. What the fuck is it?
It says...
What the fuck is Betty Day? It's not folk. It's not pop. What the fuck is Betty? What is that? It's not even... There's no genre there.
Is it a novelty song?
I don't know what the hell it is. It's like she's some sort of weird female Bob Dylan or something.
It spent an incredible 9 weeks at number one and won Grammys for both song and record of the year.
Betty Davis eyes. That song is like Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Turn around, bright eyes.
What is that? I mean, that's more of almost like a Desmond Child kind of like pop song, but
that is a little Desmond Childish, isn't it?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but it's fucking. There was some weird, terrible stuff going on in the '80s.
The music?
Yeah. I mean, look. Here's what I grew up on. The classics.
Yeah.
You got The Who, Zeppelin, The Stones, The Kinks.
Yes.
Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah.
The Doors. And then Santana was in there. You know, Allman Brothers.
See, you had the Dead and Skinner.
But yeah, there's like 10, you know, the Killers. But, you know, you got those there's American ones. You got the English Five, basically. You know.
Right.
Kinks, The Who, Zeppelin, Stones. I guess you could say the Beatles, but I kind of like got out of the Beatles because, like I said, they don't transcend. That's like pop music, really. The Beatles are so poppy. You know, I could listen to Quadrophenia 100 times. I could listen to I Want to Hold Your Hand like never.
Yeah, but what about like the later stuff?
Yeah, I can't listen to that either. It's corny to me.
All
right. Their later stuff is like them imitating like what was happening.
Yeah, I felt like they changed.
Helter Skelter is an imitation of Purple Haze.
They did a lot of that where they kind of, was it an imitation or an homage?
An homage.
Back in the USSR.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool.
I feel like they were pretty hip and fun, and they definitely were a blueprint for bands to come.
I listened to them so much as a kid, I don't want to listen to them anymore.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. But you know what? I think you got to keep that shit alive in the forefront, because shit that's going on now, the auto-tuning, the pretend drums, we got to keep the good old real stuff out there in circulation. So maybe someone in the future will be like, wow, this shit we're listening to now is really ass. And maybe they'll go back to the old school.
This
stuff is ass. So Kim Carnes and Betty Davis eyes.
Kim Carnes.
Song of the year and record of the year in 1981.
Yeah, I think that's an MTV phenomenon.
Well, I mean,
they pushed the hell out of it.
I mean, 1981 was the beginning of MTV, right? So,
yeah.
Number five. Sweet dreams are made of this. The Eurythmics. Sweet dreams are made of this.
Okay, now that is a Mandela effect, because I thought it was made of these.
Oh, you're having a little Mandela?
Sweet dreams are made of these, it's not?
Sweet dreams are made of this.
I thought it was these.
No.
I think she says these.
And what are you, and she points to her boobs? Is that what you just did?
Yeah, sweet dreams are made of these. Okay. Boom, boom.
No, that's what a young boy would think. But no. Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree?
How does that, these and grease sounds a little more like a rhyme. How do you rhyme this and agree? Annie.
It's not, well, Annie, are you okay? It's not, she wasn't really doing the rhyming, I believe. Dave Stewart probably wrote the lyrics.
Dave, I want to be, what's his name? Stewart.
Dave, I want to be what's his name, Stuart.
Wait, what's his name from ELO?
Jeff. Oh, who?
Jeff Lynne.
Jeff Lynne?
Jeff Lynne? Or is that the guy who made the Lynne drum?
I don't know what you have.
I'm just saying,
lost
Dave completely. Stewart's like, you know, he's like a poor man's Jeff Lynne.
Okay, I don't know that. I don't know enough about Dave Stewart or Jeff Lynne.
Well, yeah, that's what you're never going to. I don't. That,
apparently.
No, don't look into that.
I shan't.
Ouija board. A Ouija.
I don't want to open that portal.
Don't open the Dave Stewart portal.
Okay, I won't do it.
Might end up near Mick Ronson or something.
Now this number four. This is a band I really like.
All right.
Every Breath You Take, The Police.
I like them too.
This record.
Stingy. I love Stingy.
Synchronicity was such a huge album. I could still see the cover in my mind. And I remember Every Breath You Take debuted at number one. Like, usually a song will get on the chart and it'll move its way up. But the song was so goddamn popular that it debuted at number one. And I remember listening to I don't know which radio station it was in 1983, probably PLJ or something, Z100, whenever that came. It was just an amazingly popular song, and I believe it was number one for a very long time. It was something that you heard every day, at least 4 or 5 times a day on the radio.
I think that whole album was all over the radio.
Yeah. There's a little black sun on the sun today.
I checked out after Zenyatta Mandata.
Okay. Dave is...
Orlando Stamore.
Dave's too
Ricardo
cool
LeBlanc,
for
Zenyatta Mandata. And then they went persona non grata.
What about Ghost in the Machine?
Oh. It was a video. It's all videoed up.
Okay.
That video, black and white video.
No. Okay.
What?
Nothing?
I didn't like that stuff very much. I checked out, I tell you. Let me tell you something.
Were you like a hipster? Like a 15-year-old
hipster? Yeah,
hipster.
Yeah. A fucking cynical motherfucker. Let me tell you something. I saw...
Did you have fun, though?
Yeah. Okay. I had fun knowing that I was better than everyone else.
Yeah. See,
I
don't know how that's fun.
I went to saw the Police at Madison Square Garden in 1982, and that was fucking amazing.
Good for you.
That was the Zenyatta Mandata tour. But see, then after Zenyatta Mandata, it got all commercial non grata.
Oh, okay.
And then I had to hit the bottom.
Oh. I will say that one time when I was driving from Bodega Bay to Los Angeles for a gig, editing gig.
Yeah.
I was listening to when I still had Sirius, and they played a 1979 Westwood One concert of The Police, and I cannot tell you how amazing it was, how great they sounded. How you still, even though it was 1979 and these things had yet to become big hits, how the crowd loved every second of it. It was
Sting
one of the best.
Amazing. Sting's an amazing singer, amazing bass player. He commanded Madison Square Garden like a pro.
In 1981.
There was three of them. That was an insane concert.
I bet it was. I regret not seeing them in concert.
I'm telling you, that was before any of that other pop shit. They were just poppy enough. They played Can't Stand Losing You live. It was fucking amazing.
They were kind of like pop punk, right?
Yeah.
It was very, it's like an angry pop, maybe. I don't know. But that 79 concert, if you can find it, the Westwood One, you should listen to it because it's just amazing. So
I mean, if you compare Sting to fucking U2, there's no comparison.
No.
And they're from the same generation. 100 times better.
I mean, I think Police is 10 years before U2.
Well, that's 5 years before. Because Outlandos de Amor came out in 76 or 7.
Okay.
And the U2 came out in 82, I think, 81.
With what? Sunday, Bloody Sunday?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that song is okay, but...
Yeah, it's all right. It's a hack job.
Number.
I like The Clash more than that shit.
I like The Clash, but it's I can't listen to The Clash all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Number three. Like a Prayer.
Oh, God.
Madirty. I mean, Madonna.
Oh, God.
I never enjoyed her. Always thought she was a little whorish. And I never liked her songs, you know? If it's on the radio, I'm not going to be like, fuck, I'm turning this off. But I've never purchased a Madonna album, record, CD, sadingle. And I've never seen her alive, nor would I have.
She was good at Desperately Seeking Susan.
Do you really think that?
Yeah, she wasn't bad. I thought she was surprisingly good in that. But, you know, probably Walking Back, she sucked. Who knows? I don't know. I think that...
What, No Love for Shanghai Surprise, Dave?
I like it at Close Range. Is that the one? Is she in that one?
Close Range.
Did she do...
Is that Jennifer Lopez?
No, it's like Sean Penn and Christopher Walken or something.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Anyway, Madonna, Like a Prayer, that was like the epitome of MTV nightmare music back
yeah,
then.
That's, I mean, yes.
Ugh, horrible drum machine shit.
Well, this is what happened. I worked for somebody who was an insider to the music industry in the 80s, and he told me that in the late 80s, probably right around this time, 88, 89, MTV changed their
format.
No, well, yes,
priorities.
But their priorities, because a woman stepped in as the head of the music channel.
Uh-huh.
And when that happened, all of the they just refused to play certain good old boy type of videos.
Oh, like Damn Yankees? That was big on the MTV for a little while there. Tommy Shaw and...
Yeah, no, I know. But I mean, like, you know, even like, say David Lee Roth would have a video in 1988, 89 with women, scantily clad women... This California Girls, the David Lee Roth California Girls, would not have been played.
Right, gotcha.
Once that woman took control, and then that changed everything, and that kind of helped the other, like the angsty Nirvana and of their ilk. It kind of, they basically helped kill that hair metal popularity.
Oh, I liked Wasp.
I saw Wasp open for Kiss.
I liked the album cover with the chainsaw on his crotch. That was entertaining.
Did they cover a Who song?
Yeah, The Real Me.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I saw Wasp open for Kiss. And it was at Madison Square Garden. It was at Brendan Byrne Arena, Meadowlands. And I was there with two or three friends. And when we came out of the concert, someone had shoved beer bottles under each one of our tires.
Oh, that's always nice.
So when we went to pull out, we got four flats. So that was the night me and those friends walked from the Meadowlands to Mine Hill, New Jersey. And that was worth a movie in itself. That was really, you know, we were dressed for a Kiss show. So no one was going to pick us up. You know what I'm saying?
Unless it was Kiss.
No, it was not Kiss.
Ace Frehley would have picked you up.
Ace Frehley would have picked us up, but he probably went the other way.
Fucker.
He was not going to Mine Hill, New Jersey that night.
Some bitch.
So
yeah, Madonna's the lowest of the low.
Madonna is madirty, and I'm not a fan. Goodbye, Madonna. Number two. Now, I'm going to be interested in what you have to say about this one, because you say you don't like disco. Disco. When Doves Cry by Prince. Did you not like Prince?
I like Prince. I still like Prince. When Doves Cry, I used to listen to that on WABC radio, AM radio. I was on AM radio. That's how old that was. Yeah, I remember that.
Before WABC was...
I remember that. It was very odd, actually. Very weird song, I thought. That's like...
I guess it's less weird if you've seen the movie.
I mean, it's not normal music, though, really. It's the guitar sound at the beginning of it, or is it the end? I think it's the beginning. That's not even, like, music. That's just noise. Oh, and that song is, there's no music in it at all. It's just him and drum machine. It's just him and weird drum machine for the verse. I mean, when it breaks down, I mean, there's not much music in that song. Yeah. Very odd song if you actually break it down.
Yeah, but there it
Prince
is.
Prince is unlike anyone else.
Yes, that's true.
You know, Prince was absolutely a genius. He could play drum. He could play all those instruments except the horns. He's like Stevie Wonder.
It says
Stevie Wonder was better.
It says when Doves Cry rocketed straight to number one, becoming the biggest hit of Prince's legendary career.
Yeah. I couldn't relate to it, but I really dug Kiss.
Oh, the song, not the band.
The song Kiss, that shit was the end of Kiss, where the remix, the groove at the end of Kiss, that was the shit. Prince captured the shit. His rhythm guitar playing is as funky as it gets.
I liked, I saw Purple Rain so many times. I would go to the movie theater, Pilgrimage. It was playing in New York City. I would hop on a train, and I would go and see Purple Rain, and somewhere in Times Square, right outside of Gimbel's or Macy's. It was playing like right in Times Square, and I would go and just to see it, because it wasn't in, you know, the Rockaway Town Square Mall very long. I loved Purple Rain. I loved every song in it. I loved Prince. And it didn't strike me that the song was anything other than just a song. But apparently it's...
definitely an odd one.
It's an odd one for you. But I am a fan.
I like it. I don't think there's anything like it.
No. The movie was great. And the song you're talking about is from Under a Cherry Moon.
Kiss?
Yeah.
It is?
I believe it's from Under the Cherry Moon.
I like
the black
that,
and white movie.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You know what? I had that album. I actually really liked that album.
Yeah. I liked the movie, too. It didn't get nearly as... It was black and white. And Jerome had a bigger role. I mean, everybody loves Jerome.
I don't know who Jerome is.
Jerome.
See, I'm not hip.
Oh, wee, oh, wee, oh.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy who had the mirror, was holding the mirror for Morris Day.
Uh-huh. The Time.
The Time.
Not a huge Time fan.
I didn't know much about The Time other than the Oh, Wee, Oh, Wee, Oh song, so I was fine with The Time.
Some people really like them.
Really like them, time them. Number one, according to MetroWeekly.com, the number one song of the 80s...
Okay. Well then, I can't go for that by Hall & Oates. That doesn't get any mention since he fucking stole it from that.
I'm kind of like, I don't know. Like, Billie Jean, out of all the Michael Jackson songs from the 80s.
I don't agree at all.
Yeah, I think this is because this is where he first did that moonwalk in front of all the people.
Fucking Beat It. How about Beat It?
Yeah, I mean, he had so many other songs that I thought...
Thriller? You wouldn't think the Thriller's the biggest one? This the song, Thriller?
Not the song, maybe the video, but
is
not the song.
Does it all go hand in hand, though, really?
No.
I no, think it doesn't. Does.
Well, you would be wrong, because we have another list of the best music videos. You son of a bitch.
Is Aldo Nova on it?
There's, you know, there's no Toto songs, there's no B-52 songs on this top 10 list.
Toto Ryan.
Lionel Richie. I mean, Lionel Richie had a shit ton of hits. As you said,
he had a Hall titch ton of hits, too.
Hall & Oates. There's my number one song is Aha.
Uh-huh.
Take On Me. That is my favorite song from the 80s. And also the theme song from The NeverEnding Story is one of my favorite songs from the 80s. Cyndi Lauper. I mean, this top, I guess it's hard to have a top 10. What's Love Got to Do with It? Tina Turner was huge. Bruce Springsteen, that stupid, his stupid 1984 album.
Horrible.
Dancing in the Dark. Are ya? Is that what you're doing?
Is that what you're doing in the dark? Culture Club. Van Halen's Jump was huge.
Yeah.
This has it at number 21. In Excess, Journey. I mean, I guess if I was asked to do my top 10 list, it would be different from this one for sure.
Yeah.
But 99 Luftballons, Don't You Forget About Me. To me, it's like it's Duran Duran.
Yeah. Yeah. It is what it is.
It kind of is what it is.
Well, I like Kinks in the 80s. They put out some good stuff.
Come Dancing.
Yeah, they had some good stuff in the 80s.
And didn't they have Paranoia? Or is that not from the
80s? That's the same album.
Is it the 80s?
Well, that's the 80s. Yeah. That's the 82.
Yeah, the Kinks had some. They really did stretch from the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. And Ray Davies is still doing it.
Kinks might have been more popular in America in the 80s than they were in the 60s and 70s even. They really had a huge... I don't know. They toured a lot in the 80s.
I like the Kinks. I'm down with the Kinks. So my top 10 would not be the same as Metro Weekly's top 10.
How about the Specials? Yeah, you like the Specials?
The Specials? What's the Specials? Is it a band?
They're one of the original English ska bands.
I'm not a
ska. I think their first album came out in 1980.
I'm not a ska person.
A Message to You, Rudy.
Is that a hit?
Yeah. Stop your fooling around.
Oh.
Don't think of your future. That one.
Okay. It had horns in it, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's the essence of the ska.
What?
The ska. Ska. Ska bands have horns.
Oh, they do?
The essence of the ska.
Clearly, I don't know the essence of the ska.
Ska.
What were you... So when you, in the 80s, you were listening to...
I was listening to, like I said, I was listening to the classic rock bands from England. like 70s. Zeppelin and the Who.
But you were listening to stuff from 60s and 70s.
Yeah, and Zappa.
Oh, and
Boom.
Zappa.
Boom. Hendrix.
Boom.
And then I got into the fusion. I got into Brand X. Brand X. Boom. Phil Collins' band.
Boom.
I don't like Phil Collins, but I like Brand X.
Who was in Brand X?
Let me tell you something.
Oh, okay.
Jimi Hendrix was the bridge to Brand X. And Brand X was the bridge to Miles Davis for me.
For you.
Yeah. So well, I went from rock to fusion to jazz.
I see. And
then I came back around to blues and realized that I'd missed the whole fucking foundation. Boom.
So what do you find yourself listening to now?
Now I listen to everything. Today I was listening to Kenny Burrell, a guitar player from the 60s.
Oh, what was it? What band was he in?
Or he was in Kenny Burrell.
I see. He was in the Kenny Burrell trio or?
Yeah, trio, quartet, quintet, big band. I don't know what the fuck it was.
What was it, jazz?
It's jazz, yeah.
I see.
It's getting into a little bit of the Latin jazz too.
Oh, okay.
Sort of.
I dig that.
Yeah.
Some jazz I can't wrap my head around. It's too
jazzy.
It sounds like noise to me. My head can't filter it out. So,
At some point, jazz got very fast and stopped being bluesy.
Yeah, it's the free jazz. Is it free jazz? Is called.
Well, there's a price to pay. Let me tell you.
Okay. I remember one time Dave and I went to see Jazz Is Dead. It was jazz players performing Grateful Dead songs.
That was Billy Cobham on drums and T. Lavitz on keyboards.
And this was at the Blue Note?
Alfonso Johnson on bass.
Was it the Blue Note?
Jimmy Herring on guitar, ladies and gentlemen. It was at the fucking Bottom Line.
Bottom Line, that's what I meant. And you know what? This is how my ears don't work at all. I did not recognize any songs.
Yeah.
I could not recognize the songs. I couldn't listen to it and decipher what the hell was happening. And so instead, I just started falling asleep because I was so confused by what I was hearing. And I knew a lot of Dead songs, and I just couldn't hear it. There must be something wrong. There must be some sort of protein missing in my brain or some sort of something.
I don't know. It seemed pretty clear to me.
Yeah. No. And yeah, I was literally confused. I can't hear what they're playing. I just couldn't. I remember being really frustrated and really upset. And I've come to realize that I just can't hear things like you do.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that, but I just hear certain things.
Yeah, well, you're a musician, so you should, you know, I watch TV differently and movies differently as an editor. And you listen to music differently as a musician. It makes sense, folks.
One time when we were playing with Pavel,
mm-hmm.
we had this wedding gig. I think it was in Connecticut, maybe. Or was it Long Island? It was somewhere mm-hmm. out of the city. And somehow we got Pavel's friend, Michael Urbaniak, to play violin with us. Michael Urbaniak is a legendary Polish violinist.
Okay.
Like world class, played with Miles Davis. He's played with everyone. He's huge.
Is he older than you guys?
He's older than us, okay. And he was, you know, a little, maybe not at the height of his career or whatever at the time. But we picked him up on like 54th Street, and we drove in our car or van to the gig, and he played with First House on a gig.
That's amazing.
And and then we drove him back home, and that was the last that we played that one gig with him. That was it. But so it's like, you know, Marcus Miller plays with him, and he played with him. He's just...
Marcus.
When Miles wanted a certain sound, he said, I think he said something like, get that Polak violinist on the phone. You know, anyway, the guy had he's a unique player. We happened to play with him because Pavel's great friends with him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of First House, we had some comments in the YouTube section about the podcast we did, the First House podcast, which was very successful compared to other shows that we've done. And Petey Pete brought up something, an incident he referred to as the country club. What was that? What was that? Because it sounded like you were a bit of a fiend.
Country club.
And start from the beginning.
That was a gig that was,
Okay, we don't need nose noises. Oh,
sorry. That was a gig that was hooked up for us somehow. I can't remember exactly. Maybe one of our friends hooked it up, like this kind of like posh, club on the Upper East Side.
Okay.
It was like on like 83rd and 1st or some shit. It was like this huge indoor like club. It wasn't a bar. It was a club. They maybe had one or two floors. And it was a DJ club. You know, they didn't have live bands there. It wasn't like a live band place.
Oh, okay.
And so we went in there and we set up and played. And we were all drinking at that point. I do recall that.
The Wild Turkey?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
But
yes?
What I also recall more importantly was they had us play after a DJ. And then a DJ went on after us.
Okay.
So we were sandwiched in between DJ music. We weren't mic'd up. I don't think my drums were mic'd.
Uh-oh.
So we came on like a band playing with amateur sound, having to compete with, you know, a booming P-Funk or whatever the fuck was coming out of the DJ's speakers. And it was a classic example of us not having a good setup and sounding like shit compared to what people had been dancing to. No one danced or anything. We got off stage after the time we were supposed to be on there. And then the people who set up the gig, who were going to pay us, had left for the night. They were nowhere to be found.
Are you kidding?
Nope. So on top of us having to compete with this DJ music, which we could have easily competed with if we were just fucking mic'd up properly. If you mic a kick drum, it'll shake the fucking house, but we weren't mic'd. So we sounded like shit. On top of that, we were drunk and cocky, and they weren't around to pay us. And that's not how you do it, and that's not how it works. So I pulled the fucking fire alarm. I pulled the fire alarm. I broke the glass on it with my hand, pulled the alarm, and foam came out all over the place. Sprinklers and foam started coming all out, and the sirens went off, and they cleared out the whole club. The whole club's cleared out at like 12 instead of being open for however much longer. Man, I accomplished what I set out to accomplish. I was adamant that if they weren't going to pay us, that they were not going to have any more business that evening.
Well, that seems like a...
And the fucked up shit is this. Thing. Check this out.
Yeah?
When we're in the kitchen area, and this big black guy who worked for the club was fucking with us and was like giving us a hard time.
About food?
I don't know. No. So about us not getting paid or something. Somehow he was like not on our side, and he was like harassing us. He was like 6'5", literally. And Kenji and me are there. Then Kenji was in karate mode, like he was about to fuck the motherfucker up. And Kenji didn't fuck around.
Did Kenji have karate skills?
Yeah. Kenji was half the size of this guy.
Did you guys get paid?
Not that night. I don't think we ever got paid. Probably not. Maybe we did. I don't know.
Now, did they know that you were the one who pulled the...
Yeah. We were outside of the club after everyone left and the cops had got called or something.
Was everybody covered with foam?
No, I don't recall that. But I do remember someone going, there's one over there. Or he's the one. And the cops grabbed me and they threw me up, gently threw me up against the...
Tossed.
The closed, gate of a store.
Right.
And they were like, what happened? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I was completely, like, lucid or whatever. I was just completely calm. And I told them basically what happened. And they were just like, get out of here. And they just told me to get out of here.
Yeah.
And I just got out of there. And that was it. Arrested. Didn't get anything. And left. And that became somewhat of a legend. This was at the height of us, like, you know, we had just recorded our CD. We were like a unit as much as we could be at that point.
Gotcha. So this is like a 94?
Yeah, it was 94. I think so.
There you go. Well, I think this has been a successful 80s music podcast. We might have other 80s, because there's 80s. Movies, there's 80s TV shows, there's 80s commercials. 80s was, you know, from 1980 to 1989, I was 13 to 22. Mm. So it's in my head. So all of the music, the movies, the commercials, the music videos, they're my formative years. Dave is laying down, so you can't hear him speak into the microphone. Hey, pantsless, come on.
Pantsless.
Get up here and say something. We're signing it off now.
Hey, how about I'm no angel? You like I'm no angel?
Are your armpits sweaty?
I'm a sweaty Jew.
Oh, my God. All right, we shouldn't have turned off the AC. Angel. Anyway.
Yeah, one of the worst lyrics ever.
No.
Let me show you my tattoo.
No.
Oh, please.
Nope.
Don't show me. Let's just get back to the whipping post. Oh, my God. Let me show you my tattoo.
Wearing a mask of false bravado is the worst.
I don't want to see your tattoo.
Baby, come back.
No one wants to see it.
Any kind of fool could see. Okay.
Well, that's good stuff.
No, because it's the song.
How do they have these top 10 fucking songs of the 80s and not a single Hall & Oates song on there?
That's what I'm saying. I don't agree with Metro Weekly's top 10.
How is the My Kiss on your list not on their list?
Oh my God, I don't know. There's a lot of songs that
I can't go for that.
Tainted Love. You know how popular that fucking song was? Tainted Love. Yeah, and Lionel Richie had a shit ton of hits. He needs to be in the top 10.
Cars came out in 1980?
Here in my car, I can fuck
my guitar. That was a huge hit on...
In car.
That was a huge hit on... Now, before MTV came out, there was something else they had that was like a precursor to MTV. And they would play like that song. And I remember seeing Garbage Man by the Crabs.
See, I don't know that one at
like,
all.
This is like local New Jersey like videos from like 1980.
Oh, yeah, from like on WHT? Was that the channel?
Like, it was like before MTV, but it was like the same videos that became like the basis of MTV, basically.
Yeah. Back before there were videos.
Gary Newman was one that I would always see.
Yeah, this list is... It's missing a lot of things.
What about the Romantics? They were all over the place.
Yeah. What I Like About You?
Yeah.
That was a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not... It's not good. This list is not good. But, you know, it's hard to... Every time you find a list...
Wait, what's the Human League?
Don't you want me?
Is Culture Club?
Don't you want me, baby?
No, wait. What's Culture... Why are they showing Boy George?
Okay, I'm cutting this part
out.
Oh,
I see. Culture Club.
Cutting this part out because you don't know how a list works. Anyway, so... this has been great fun talking about music. Dave is, it's really always in Dave's wheelhouse to speak about music. If you would like to listen to other podcasts, you can find them at middleagedcoolkids.com. We have links to Stitcher, YouTube, TuneIn, Google Play, and iTunes. So you can pick how you'd like to hear the show. Also, if you would like to contact us, you can either contact us in the YouTube comments or you can follow us on Twitter at @middleagedcool. I think that's it for this week. Do you have anything you want to plug?
No.
He's laying down again.
No, I don't want to plug anything.
He's sweaty and pantsless.
I can't plug anything. Hello?
I'll give another shout out to Mark Levitt.
Is this thing on?
He says, in the Hudson, Cleveland, Ohio area, check out the screening of the award-winning Thumb Wrestler at the International Indie Gathering Film Festival on Saturday, August 11th. At 3:35, theindiegathering.com is the website for that. Thumb Wrestler. I look forward to seeing that. And Thumb Wrestler 2. All right. Well, this has been fun. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen of America.
I like the wig.
You like what?
I like to make werewolf movies.
It's not what you said. You said I like to wake.
I like to wake and bake.
Okay. Oh, that is also true. All right. Goodbye, everyone. Put your pants on.